In the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 55, there's a lot of verses that I like to use to share with people. But there is one particular verse that I will use today, which I believe that will go along with the lesson. And it starts in verse 10. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goeth forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Now that particular passage tells me that the word of God is powerful, and the things that he says in the Bible, it's true. It's going to come to fruition. In other words, when he tells us to do something, and when we don't do it, it's working. See, what it's doing, it's, if you don't believe in God, you don't love God, and when he says to do these things, you reject it, he's weeding you out. But if you pay attention and you do what God says, then it will protect your life. And every scripture in the Bible, the Old Testament, is telling us today what God is all about. I have a favorite word, and most of you know it. Some people don't like me to use it, but I get it in anyway. And if I don't get it in, somebody else gets it in. But we are some foolish people. We see things, we read things, and we reject things. And this lesson is one that it should apply to us every day that we have life. Resist the devil. Now, God would not have put that there if he wasn't sincere about resisting the devil. Now, here's something that you got to think about. The devil is here. He's wherever you go. And he's trying to get you to go against God's word. And all of these little things that we do that is contrary to the word of God, and we do that, he's got us. We are to resist. And when we think about that, there's so many things in this world that we need to resist. But we say, that's not too bad. In this particular verse, it says, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, that just telling the devil to get away from me is not going to cut it. You got to live the right way. You have to be insincere to God's word to resist the devil. And we have a responsibility as Christians to resist the devil, because if we do not, we will not make heaven. Think about this. God created this world, and he put people in it. He told people what to do, And he told them, if you don't do this, this will be the consequence of it. And he tells us the story about the first two people in the world. You would think the first two people in the world would not go wrong. But they did. They did not resist the devil. They did not resist the temptation of the devil. And we know what the consequences is. But to start off, I want to sort of talk about some things that we should not resist. The devil is trying to get us to resist certain things. But here are some of the things that we should not resist. We should not resist the wisdom of God. Because if we resist the wisdom of God, we are going to be lost. In this particular verse, but they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. And this is concerning Stephen. Certain individuals was trying to create a problem with Stephen. But Stephen was speaking from God. And these people tried to dispute him. Now, the thing is, Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost. And if you look at it from a win-win situation, Stephen is going to win. Because he was doing the will of God. And when they and what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. And then they chose some other men to do the work of supplying the needs for the widows. And so we see that this person, or these individuals, they was full of the Holy Spirit, and people tries to resist the Holy Spirit. It doesn't make sense, but that's what people do. When you talk to people, when you try to show them what the Bible says, they will come up with every excuse under the sun of why they will not believe the Bible. Another thing that we should not do is resist the Holy Spirit. Here's another word we should be using. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. The Holy Spirit provides us with the words of Christ. And if we choose not to hear, then we are stiff-necked folks. And we should always be telling ourselves, if I fail to heed the word of God, then I will be going to hell. Just out and out. I'm going to hell. I will be lost. And so, we should not resist the Holy Spirit. And you know what we should do? I remember this when I became a Christian, and I was told about members of the Church of Christ. And they said that other religions was really afraid of us because we knew the Bible. We could quote the Bible. We could say what the Bible said. But you know, nowadays, if you say that you are a member of the Church of Christ, they will say, well, you are an occult. And I've heard that many times, and you know, I looked that up, and occult is that you are worshiping one special person, And I said, you know, that's true. I'm in a cult. I worship Jesus Christ. Only him. I do what he said. So I'm a member of his cult. But we do understand when people try to say certain things to be derogatory, but we belong to Jesus Christ. Another thing that we should not resist is the truth. Just as Jannes and Jamborees opposed Moses, so these men also opposed the truth. Men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. The New Testament is the truth. Jesus said in John 12 that his words are going to judge us in the last day. His words are truth. Where does he get them from? He gets them from God. God is all righteous. So, when men or ourselves resist the truth, what are we doing? We're putting our souls in jeopardy. We're sending our souls to this place that God prepared for the devil and his angels. The ordinance of God. What I find interesting after I learned these things, that God still works in this world. He sets things up. And we seem to be so smart, we go against everything God sets up. And you know, this verse tells me, let every person be subjected to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Now yes, there are rules in which we do not like. But in this country, we have the ability to band together and change the rules the right way. We're not supposed to go and shoot somebody because we don't like what they do. Our system of government gives us a means by which we can change things. And we should do that because God sets him up. And we're going against God if we do it any other way. Evil. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other one. Now, we need to understand something. God is trying to tell us that we are not supposed to take things in our own hand. He says, vengeance is mine. Now, I don't know about you, but if somebody slaps me, I'm going to try to count to 10 and run. That's my intention. But if it don't work, then you will hear about it. But we are not supposed to take vengeance on anything. And so we are supposed to resist evil with the word of God. And we are not supposed to violate any of the principles in which God sets up. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and everyone. So what we as Christians, we got a job. We must know what the Bible says, and we must work at it to do it. And I know a lot of these things are difficult. But the Son of God came to this world. He was beaten. He was spit upon. His beard was pulled out of his face for us. And if we're going to say he's our example, we must do what he said. Now, here's where we want to look at how to resist the devil. The scripture again, submit yourself therefore to God. If you do not submit yourself to God, you cannot resist the devil, and he will not flee from you. And what does Peter say about the devil? He tells us that we must be steadfast. And he informs us about something of, like, the devil is out seeking those in which he can devour. Now, if you know much about animals, they go for the weakest one. If they're really desperate, they will go after the one that is strong, but not normally so. They go after the small, the weak, the one that's dying. And if we don't study, we're not learning how we can resist the devil. And that means he will get us in the end. But if you're strong in God's word, he can't touch you because you know what God is saying. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kind of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. You know, we really don't suffer like some of the other countries out there. And we don't understand their suffering. But they're suffering. Now, our suffering is, you know, on the high side. You know, everything goes the way we want. Our fingernail breaks. Oh, I'm suffering. But nobody is trying to kill us. Nobody is trying to tell us we cannot worship God. And so, we're told in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He's looking for it. He's after every one of us here. A slip of the tongue. The hand. You name it. He's after us. And if he can get a toehold in our life, it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. If you talk to people about different subjects, you will see how the devil got a toehold in their lives. You know, we have discussed from time to time about drinking. And before I became a Christian, I drank. I didn't like it, but I did it because everybody else was doing it. My claim to fame, when I drank too much, I threw it all back up. Why do that? But you know, there's people who say, oh, we can have a social drink. Well, the Bible gives us a few scriptures. It says, drunkards will not go to heaven. It tells us the wine and all of these things, what it will do to you. We must be sober-minded, so we should stay away from those things. We need to focus on what God says. And if we can't focus on it, we cannot resist the devil. But what we can do is we can resist him by his word. Watch and pray that you may not enter in temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We must watch and pray. We remember this. He says, and when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. The devil is after us. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but keep watch, but keep awake and be sober. There's a story that happened in Thailand in 1970. And there was a commotion going on and all of this. And me and a couple other guys, we went to the USO and got something to eat, something to drink, because every day was fun and games, nothing's happening. And we heard that on the other side of the ramp where we were B-52s. And they said an individual woke up from his nap. And I guess he walked around and there was an individual with a gun pointing straight at his head. And this individual pulled the trigger 3 times and nothing happened. Well, normally I would say he didn't go to church, but I believe he was there that Sunday. Thanking the good Lord that he didn't die. But if he was awake and he was looking, maybe that person couldn't have snuck up on him. But we are supposed to always be on guard, for the devil is there. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night and day to admonish everyone with tears. We need to know what the Bible is saying. So when the devil comes along, we're ready. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. There's people out there in this world, they profess to know the truth, but they don't know anything about what God truly wants them to do. And it's a sad state if we don't know what we're supposed to do. So again, Peter says, be sober-minded, be watchful, for your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Here's a story I heard on the radio. In New York City, in the Bronx Zoo, I guess in the snake cages or whatever, a very venomous Egyptian cobra got loose, and he's still loose. Now, can you imagine? You as a worker there, knowing that this serpent is there, coming to work drunk, and just going and doing anything you know, you're going to make delicate steps because you know there's danger. And that's what God is trying to tell us. There is danger. Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things that are above, not on things of the earth. We want to go to heaven. And you know, I am like most people, especially when I grew up, is the fact that if you don't know the scriptures, you don't know anything, you're going to be just like the world. And if you go to a church that acts like the world, hey, everything is fine. But we are told, set your mind on things that are above. And everything we can find in this Bible does not tell us to just stay here, have fun, do what you want. It tells us to think about going to heaven, doing what we're supposed to do so we can get to heaven. We're told to pray, Ephesians 6:18, praying at all times in the Spirit and with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplications for the saints. You know, we had a prayer class, and we were told from the scriptures things that we must do, why we must do it. And so, we've learned we need to pray for one another. We need to pray for one another. You know, we have folks that are sick. Folks that are going through different troubles. We need to pray for one another. Because we're supposed to be a family. And you don't want to see a loved one hurt. So we should be praying continuously for one another. You know, when we pray for somebody and when we use their name, it's saying something. Instead of just say, and I mean, this is our private prayers, just, oh, Father, pray for everybody, Ashley Heights. But you know, if somebody that you care about is important, we will take the time to put their name in that prayer. Father, pray for Teresa. And we have these prayers from the young men. Pray for Bob. Pray for Gene. Pray for Dan. You're calling out their names. They think it's important to pray for these individuals. We're not supposed to be thinking about the wealth and the honor. Things we can do. We should be praying for the saints to get well. Pray that each one of us will become stronger and stronger and stronger in the faith. Because if we lose that faith, we're not going to make it. And the devil is always putting up roadblocks in front of us. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be consistent in prayer. And so, our job for one another is to be praying for each other. And if we do that, we are going to be in good shape. But if we forget to pray, we could be losers because the devil got us. He knows if he can get us away from prayer, praying for one another, he's got us. Here's something that I thought was interesting. Retraining prayer, we cease to fight. Prayer makes the Christian armor bright. And Satan trembles when he sees the meanest saint upon his knees. Because like I said, Satan is after us. He wants us. But if he is seeing us do God's will, he will go away for a more convenient time. We should pray for the saints, like I said. Why? Because they are our brethren. Those folks in Africa, Philippines, other places we don't know. We should pray for them. We should pray for them because they have hearts prone to evil and needs, the same as us. They need God's grace. Because nothing tends to make us love others more than praying and forgiving them of their faults if they ask of it. Because the condition of the church is always such that it greatly needs the grace of God. And when we see members that are backsliding, when we see members that are cold, they're lukewarm, they're in error, we should go to them and try to strengthen them and bring them back. Because we all look at everybody. We all know what everybody does. And so, we should be concerned about one another. And so we should be constant in prayer. And again, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. When we leave here this morning, the devil is going to go with us. And he's going to try to trip us up. But you know, if we keep the word of God in us, you remember when the devil tried to tempt Jesus, and everything Jesus said was the word. It is written. It was written. And basically he was saying, it is written and I'm not going to change. That must be us. We must be bold enough to do that. One who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil. But a fool is reckless and careless. This reminds me of me when I was younger. It reminds me of the people that I read about in the Old Testament that we're studying now. They're foolish. Proverbs 16:17, the highway of the upright turns away from evil. Whoever guards his ways preserve his life. You know, sometimes we could be the most safety conscious people in the world. But when it comes to God's word, it don't mean nothing. So that's why we, having the truth, when we get an opportunity to teach people, we should, as the old saying, where the rubber meets the road. God is loving. We know that. That's why he provided a Savior. But we need to teach people, if they do not do what God wants, life is not going to be very good. We're going to cover some more of that in our Bible class. We know the story of Joseph. And it's an example to us, because this is more prevalent in this world today. Maybe not. We got the internet, we got everything to tell you about all of these stories that's going on, and you just have to look at the information in the papers to see things such as this. But Mrs. Potiphar saw Joseph, that he was good looking and everything, and she wanted to have a relationship from him. But who did he believe in? He believed in God. He said that is a sin against God, not a sin against Potiphar, but it's a sin against God. And so when she grabbed him, he left. Sometimes that is the best thing in the world. Run. Be like old Forrest Gump. Go out for a run and keep going. Because if you stop and succumb to this, you're going to be in trouble. And like I said, all you got to do is look at the papers and see some of the things that's going on. We're told, flee from idolatry. Because the devil is going to try to convince us that, put this first. Put your children first. But God tells us things such as this: flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. I had an opportunity to talk to a young lady that I brought back from work at Kiowa, and it's about a 45-minute drive, and we were the only ones there, so she was at my mercy. And she had told me some things, and she said her boyfriend came out and took her here. And I used this scripture of what sin God says is sin. And I told her, fornication is a sin. Now, people may say, well, that's the way of the world, everything is fine, but God says fornication is a sin. And I wanted her to know that. If she caught nothing else, I wanted her to know that if she is practicing in these things, God says it's a sin. I don't care what her mother says, the preacher says, God says it's a sin. And that's what we have to stress. Again, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But you know, you got to remember book, chapter, and verse. Book, chapter, and verse. And you know that scripture that tells us to be ready. To be ready to give an answer for why we believe what we do. And you can't do that if you don't know what's in the book. I think I said this to you once before, that God has made it easy for us today. He's given us a test on how to get to heaven. And he's given us the book, and he's told us where to go, into the New Testament. In the New Testament is where we are going to be saved. He gives us the answers in the open book. I don't know about you, but I hate it, and I still hate tests. If I study 1,000 years, I still don't like it. But now, I'm wise enough to know now that you give me an open book and you show me where the answers are, I will get 100%. Because it's in the book. And so, when God tells us, do not do this, and the devil comes along and says, that's not what God meant. He knows God means that if you do this, you will be as wise as him. And look at what happened to those people. Same thing will happen to us if we fail to heed what is in that book. So I hope as you go through your life from this moment on, you will practice resisting the devil by getting into the Word of God, by saying, it is written. It is written. Well, what about this? I can't find it in it, so it don't mean nothing. But if it's in the book, say it. And say it for yourself, because you can be held just as accountable for not resisting the devil the way it is. So now, if you have any need of this congregation, any prayers, whatever it is, we ask that you will make it known as we stand and sing.